Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We're digging deeper into Matthew's Gospel, and today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. They read, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, now we're turning from the inner issues, the issues of the inner character from the earlier verses of Matthew 5, to instead now the place of the teachings of Jesus in the canon of Scripture. He's talking about the law in this passage. What law is he talking about? Some people say that the law has three parts: a civil part, a ceremonial part, and a moral part. And perhaps Jesus is saying that he upholds the moral law from the Old Covenant because the ceremonial will become obsolete after his sacrifice, and the civil will no longer hold because the church is not a nation in the same way that Israel was. That thought certainly fits well. Another possibility is that when he says he will fulfill the law, he means he will confirm it. In that case, what the law really means in this passage is confirmed by the lives of both Jesus and his disciples. Other people suggest that Jesus fulfills the prophets by appearing as the Messiah, and then fulfills the law by dying as the perfect sacrifice. Matthew says in chapter 11, verse 12, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." He puts law and prophets together there. It seems that both law and prophets had a prophetic function as far as Jesus is concerned. The New Testament sees the Old Testament as pointing forward to Jesus Christ, and Jesus does not seem to think of himself as being in opposition to the Old Testament, but as bringing to fruition that towards which it points. Well, whatever fulfilling the law means exactly, we are left in no doubt as to what Jesus thought of the significance of what he taught. He is making a very strong statement here about the authority of his teaching and the requirement to obey it. The commands he talks about here in verse 19 must be presumably his own teachings, as laid out in the Sermon on the Mount right here, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. This is why practicing them leads to being called great in God's kingdom. But what does practicing the commands mean? I mean, we cannot be perfect in our obedience. God is interested in loyalty, not legalism. One of the problems that Jesus wants to deal with here is the tendency to obey what one has to do and to measure devotion by performance irrespective of inner attitude. In the 3rd century AD, the Mishnah, the oral law explaining the law, ran to 800 pages, and this was followed by Talmud, which were commentaries explaining the Mishnah, and there were 12 volumes of the Jerusalem Talmud and 60 volumes of the Babylonian Talmud. There's plenty of explanation, plenty of rules, but Jesus is much more interested in the attitude of heart. And this ties in with the earlier Beatitudes. Only if we acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy can we invite Christ in to work his power in transforming our lives by faith and grace. When Jesus is demanding greater righteousness than that of anybody else from his disciples in this passage, it is not a greater accuracy or comprehensiveness in keeping the rules that he is after, but a changed attitude to obedience to his commands. And next time we'll go on to look at the following passage here in Matthew. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.